Off the Ball, GAA.
It's another game. It's a great game to get under the belt. It's lovely to get back to Croke Park, get a good game, and have a good performance level. And we go away now and start preparing for Down in the first round of the championship.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Viagra Connect 50mg film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150mg tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
Colin's here. How are you,
Colin? Hi, Darren.
Do you want to tell the audience?
I absolutely do not. Told you that in confidence.
I warned you that the red light was on and you were right to blab.
I know. But it's hard to believe, and I'd like to continue that conversation with you afterwards if you don't mind.
A friendly thing to do. You don't want advice from me.
I'm not asking for advice, I'm just telling you.
Well. Dara, do you feel a little awkward?
It's a yes or no.
What do you mean in general, as a person?
And he would ask that type of question, you know.
That was a great answer.
No, I don't feel awkward at all. I feel very comfortable. Good morning.
How are you?
Not too bad. How are you?
Hidden depths there. You see that? Really coming out of yourself in your awkwardness.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
That clip of Louis Theroux being silently awkward.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good stuff. They know what they're doing, those promo kids. Whoever's cutting that stuff.
Yeah.
Chelsea Manning. You seen that? Just me.
Which? True?
Yeah.
They're
silent.
Yeah.
I suspect that didn't make the cut for the actual thing. That's a good idea, isn't it? You do extra material just for the promos that never appears anywhere. And it was like, oh, it wasn't in the thing. Like, oh, that's how promo should be. Anyway, we digress. There's lots of news today. Do we want to get to some of it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was just trying to think of the name of your man who's into cannibalism, Louis interviewed.
Oh, that's a long time ago. Is this
the same again?
No, hang on. There's a couple of them. Oh. There was the actor.
Yeah, the actor, and he had a man in his podcast
after the cannibalism.
Yeah, after the allegations of cannibalism.
All right. That was a good get.
I
never watched any of the stuff that he was in, so I can't remember.
I think the guy was just sexting. I don't think he did anything.
Oh.
And what was his name? Arnie Hammer.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Wasn't it? Is that the guy's name?
Yeah.
Got a charity confirmation there.
If Taru approaches you to do a documentary,
you're like,
you
no,
run
thanks.
Away. You run the other way. Like,
well, these Manosphere boys didn't know who he was.
Yeah.
And one Googled and was like, oh, all these documentaries he's done.
But they were all suspicious of him when he showed up. It's just bizarre that they did it, but. We're glad that they actually did do it, but, you know.
But isn't that the allegation is that they don't actually care?
Yeah.
It feeds the algorithm. They get more famous. The weak-minded are like, oh, you're famous and rich. I'll follow
Louis
you.
Louis was telling Ramesh Ranganathan there that his teenage kids watched that and thought he got done by H.S. Tiki-Taki, whose father, former professional rugby player.
Yeah.
Did you see that there was a Q&A, you know those Q&As that people do with the dad? That did not come across well. Did you see that? No.
Oh. He's actually in this documentary briefly.
Is he? Well, he left.
He wasn't in his life, I don't think. Yeah.
No, he wasn't in his life, and he's in a restaurant in a booth. spreading like Al Pacino and Scarface, like Tony Montana.
Man spreading. Some of this stuff is not suitable for little ears, but if you want me to...
What are you going to read out there?
Well, the Victor Abugu. So his then-girlfriend had this to say about him in The Independent in 1995. Last time I was at dinner with him, I went off to the loo, and when I came back, he was sitting at a completely different table with a whole lot of girls. I hate his dress sense. It's too flash. He wears nothing but Versace. He's got this really flash car too, a yellow Lotus. I don't like that at all. He does talk about himself a lot. And sometimes when I'm telling him about myself, I catch his eyes glazing over. So, as they would say, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. And then The Guardian did a Q&A with him in 2001. What objects do you always carry with you? Keys, wallet, and condom. What's your favourite fantasy? How long have you got? Do you believe in monogamy? I prefer Cluedo. What words or phrases do you most overuse? get your coat, you've pulled. And then there's more.
Classy fella, yeah.
If you were to imagine, like...
how long have you got?
We're gonna like, build a stereotype of what the father of a leader of the manosphere is. You'd be like, oh, professional sportsman who, it seems, isn't that interested in actually knowing women, as opposed to just...
The mother has Irish heritage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's 801 days until Euro 2028.
Yes, oh, that's that. Yeah, Jesus.
And it starts tonight. Now, are people going to this?
This is the thing, isn't it?
Let us know.
What decisions do they have to make? What are you weighing up in your mind?
About what?
You have a ticket, don't you?
I do, yeah, but I can't go because of other commitments.
Personal circumstances.
Other commitments.
Yeah.
Other commitments.
Throwing a personal circumstances there, that just kills anything, doesn't it? You can say what you want, then no one's going to ask you.
Yeah.
Well, so that's our job, is to ask questions. We're just asking questions, Colm. No one can give out to us. HR can't give out to us if the answer here is something that we actually are like shocked by.
You regularly tell me that HR can give out to us
for
things that I want
on
to
air
say.
Stuff, largely, you're a diplomatic immunity.
So one guy's definitely not
may
going.
Or may not be true. Sorry, I'll be checking with your lawyers first.
Dermot Keane had an anecdote about his buddy. Did you see this yesterday? I believe Dermot would probably refresh us here in the comment section, but his buddy bought tickets for one of the children or something like that for his first Ireland game at 2-0 up on Thursday night.
Oh, expensive.
Yeah.
Whereas now they're free.
Or maybe he bought them and they went 2-0 up or something and he told them then or something.
Like that. Okay.
He'll tell us. But anyway, he was excited. I don't know if he's going to go tonight. It's weather dependent.
Cool story, bro.
Possibly, I'm just retelling a story
it
from a loyal
terrible,
fan.
Terrible, Luke. You could have none of the details.
I gave you. What do you know about that story?
Well, I know nothing.
Yeah, I took
a man bought tickets for a game. May or may not have bought the material. Who knows beforehand? He got them really expensive or really cheap.
I never mentioned the price. No, but it was heartbroken because of what happened, you see, and they may not go. The point of the story.
Well, they should go and support the team.
Yeah, anyway, it's Dermot Keane's story. I'm sure he'll tell us about it.
Did the Kerry fans leave early? Were they trying to beat the traffic back? Was that what's going on? Were they leaving early, or did they stay with their team that just won the All Ireland?
No, a lot of them left. Some stayed.
Right, sorry,
they can leave under the precipice of, like, every step you take up those steps, like, it's only the league. Every time you take a step up, you can year. I mean, you can year away a league because the whole country does it anyway.
Yeah,
but you can't leave early.
You see the down celebrations winning Division 3. They're upset to win. If anything, they were down.
Were they muted?
Yeah, they looked furious. It's like when, when Stephen Cluxton would go up to...
The Leinster ones.
Leinster Trophy, and it looks like it was like jury duty.
Did he leave it behind? Did he win 17 of them or something? Was that the figure?
It was, you know. There's no, you know, the joy of winning the league. Like, now Carlo, like was said, like, this is the greatest day in 44 years, literally.
Yeah.
I would have taken it as a Cork fan. I would have loved to have won the league.
Mayo won a league cup a couple of years ago and celebrated it.
The problem, you just enjoyed for the day that it is, and it's never really given to you as credit if you're Division 2 up.
I would measure it on, say, like Cork losing it. How many players fall to the ground at full time?
Yeah, it's a good point.
In despair. Not many.
It's a good physical measure.
Yeah, there was a couple of hands over the heads, one or two. But yeah,
which is an appropriate response, I think. But I mean, there's an argument to say, should we make a bigger deal of the league? Like, should it be a huge thing if you win it?
Your season is just starting when it's over.
It's in three sections, isn't it? This is part one.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
You can't be too distraught.
Part one. So there's no football this weekend. So you have this weekend, Divisions 1, A and B in the hurling have a place to themselves on Sunday. There's nothing on Saturday. And then we get going, the provincials.
That was controversial enough, I think. Yeah. Cork asked to get the standalone fixture at the weekend and they were told, no, you can't do it.
And do you know where it is as well?
It's in Limerick.
Yeah.
So this is the second of potentially five games. Sorry, is it? Yeah, so round robin, Munster final, All-Ireland final. Do you want to do a bit more in the Ireland game tonight?
Are you going?
Had you more stuff to say? I'm not going now. I'm unavailable.
Did
we talk about the Stephen Ireland thing? Did we do it in passing or do it?
Do which?
There was a lad on telly.
Yeah, well, we mentioned it, but we didn't we didn't break
what aspect of it was he a dead granny? That was the
was off the back was saying that so, he
I think that's what
he didn't tell work he was off.
Okay, because I like the
didn't tell work he was off.
No, he told them that he did a Stephen Ireland.
Yeah.
And Brianna Perkins was writing her final column and she was like, best advice she ever got was make sure you've got four alive grandparents whenever you start a job. Whether or not they are, do you get the implication? Because you can kill one off a year and an extra couple of days holidays. Ideally, they'd always die on a Thursday funeral on a Friday.
Do you get fired?
Well,
because that went viral. That was probably the most viewed fan clip from...
It's definitely one of them.
The Prague trip.
If you know, you know. But sorry,
depends what he does for a living.
See, I thought that, that story...
He lives in the social media sphere, like they'll keep him, make him viral.
I thought that because that lie had been discovered, if you know, you know, it's actually... But everybody knows that. Anyway.
Yeah.
I realise now this probably wasn't a conversation for on air. Well, I... the 12-week ban for Ger Brennan has been suggested, right? Have you seen this? You said there's new footage. There's a Zapruder film.
Yeah, from the stands. It kind of just shows the scuffle beforehand between the players.
The grassy knoll.
Yeah, Brennan is kind of like... He's actually playing peacemaker.
The book depository.
Or peacekeeper, initially. And then... I believe he's the S&C coach from Galway.
Branagh McGinn
just walks onto the pitch and kind of just goes after Brian Howard, and Brian Howard wasn't even overly involved in the scuffle before, and it's a bit of a weird situation, and then Brennan spots him from a mile away. Brennan comes, he's so far away from where he is and where he ends up, and then obviously then what we've already seen happens. That's kind of it.
So what happens is he removes his earpiece and then pulls the back of his shirt.
It was an odd...
Kind of ban him for 3 months. You know, I'd say if you're Dublin, you're looking at the league final and the incident that wasn't punished and going,
yeah,
no ban for that, 12 weeks for this. Now, the get out of jail card, right, is that, this is according to John Fogarty today in The Examiner, a 12-week ban was recommended for Brendan for a Category 4A offence. Any type of physical interference with an opposing player or team official, however... And here's the...
Loophole found.
Yeah. It's believed Branagh McGinn was not listed as a team official on the matchday team and management sheet that counties are obliged to file before throw-in. It was clarified that Branagh McGinn operated in the liaison capacity. There is a question as to whether Brennan physically interfered with an actual team official. So like, he's physically interfered with a rando, who isn't, of course, a rando, but under the eyes of the law, this man, he may as well have been, not Mattress Mick, what do you call the Mayo lad who, you know... It could have been anybody.
What was that sentence? What are you doing there? It might as well have been the Mayo lad. Who?
Do you know the Mayo lad who... Big Mick, Big... What was the guy who pitch invaded and it required 14 stewards to get him off? Remember?
Oh.
Yeah.
He was a rando, right?
That was great.
If you physically interfered with him, the law doesn't know how to deal with that because it's like any type of physical interference on an opposing player or team official. He's not an opposing player or team official.
He's not supposed to be there.
Exactly.
Thing, yeah.
So I'm not saying Cian Branagh McGinn is the same as this. He's obviously a storied strength and conditioning fella, but...
He's not in the match program.
In the eyes of the law, he is rando.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough.
So what do you give him? Under those circumstances, no ban. Because you can't make up a new ban. Oh, sorry, we charged under the wrong... get out of it.
Yeah.
I should have been a barrister, shouldn't I?
Mick Barrett was the name of that man.
We didn't need the name.
Just to let you know.
We didn't need to go there.
I wanted to know.
Now I need a barrister.
And now everyone knows. This is written in publication.
I know.
It kind of seems so absurd, like 12 weeks. So it could miss, so there could be a gap week here and there.
No, but it's basically like, you know, the way they've shortened the whole season to basically
so
make it
come
like
here to me now. Will Michael Murphy just be frowned upon and that's the end of it, do we think? Yellow card, it was dealt with, you see, it was technically dealt with.
Well,
at the time,
was it though? That's my, you know, if you're looking for a loophole.
In a minor capacity.
Waiting on that ref report. I don't think David got, when he showed the strike in action, not to get too into it again, but I think he meant the first couple of whacks. I don't think he saw the last, where the last one landed.
That was the killer, that was the knockout.
Yeah.
Kevin O'Driscoll giving us grief here. There's loads of news today. Still no news given. That was news. It was a 12-week ban. It's going to be no. They're going to get away with it. We told you the doubleheader is a shambles, according to the Cork chairman. The demand for tickets far exceeds supply. At least the Gaelic grounds will be full, which is relatively rare, isn't it? Mm. Speaking of full, if Munster can get their shit together, they will play a game in Porkeycueve in the Champions Cup next year.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a break with tradition for not playing Champions Cup games there. They'll play like, is it Australia A or South Africa A?
Argentina.
Yeah, 15. But never one of those actual competitive matches that the people of Cork can get out and celebrate and, you know, show their true colours as Munster fans.
Well, they had Gloucester and they didn't show up, in fairness.
Where was that?
Parkeycueve.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
When was that?
No, it was one of those games where Munster put out an okay team, but Gloucester didn't send anyone. Like,
yeah, they were. They had
no one of note.
Gloucester were appalling.
Last December, 36,000 people showed up. No one showed up.
What?
36,000 showed up.
So you're saying no one?
No, he said no one.
Is it 36,000? Yeah. It didn't feel like it. Yeah, or it didn't sound like it.
It's so huge, you see.
Yeah.
So they played there last December, so they're going to turn this into an annual thing. £500,000, they reckon, that they made more from the Gloucester game than they would have if they'd played that game at Thomond.
I'm sure, yeah. Yeah, well, it's just the tickets alone. Like, it's just a bigger place, isn't it? There was a few people in the comments there saying yesterday that bringing it to Cork more often would solve some of these issues financially and also just support-wise, because I know once their fans are getting more and more frustrated as the weeks go. It's a bleak one, isn't it? Like it's a
difficult one. It's somewhat unique to Munster in terms of the four provinces, you know.
Yeah.
Everywhere else, I know that Connacht played in Mayo, and that was very interesting for the day. It was. It looked cool actually on TV. Munster won that game, funnily enough. And I think for the other three provinces, it's cut and dry where they play their rugby, and in Munster, it's always been a bone of contention.
Yeah,
even when everything was going well.
Ulster have played games. They played one in Cavan there 3 years ago in Kingspan. But yeah, it's rare. It's rare that they'd go anywhere else for an official game. And I think that was a pre-season game at that. Leinster, the odd time, have bounced around. But yeah, like you say, it's pretty cut and dry. But yeah, I think I'd only see it as a benefit to Munster rugby.
That's great.
Do with
it's
the extra
great.
Money.
Move it around.
Yeah,
move it around. I have incredibly fond memories of Thomond Park,
but
going there. But like, look at the stadium we have in Cork.
Yeah,
look at the stadium the GAA has.
Cork is a huge part of Munster.
Yeah, it is. No, it is. Yeah, but the rugby stadium is Virgin
huge.
Media Musgrave. Whatever that's. What is that called?
I think it's Virgin Media Park at the moment.
Oh, yeah, it
was Irish Independent Park, and then it was Musgrave Park. Musgrave for years and years.
And that's the actual name, and it's not named after the family who owns Super Bowl.
No, I don't know what the actual name of the address of the stadium is,
right.
But it's always been the sponsor park.
Yeah.
And was Musgrave the sponsor? That's what I'm asking.
I get what you mean by that question.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid I don't have the answer for you.
So, the other thing is Massimo De Lutis. Mm. How do I pronounce this?
De Lutis. Yeah.
Have you heard of this fella?
Dara told the world about it yesterday.
22 years of age.
From that very seat.
In the Examiner, they're saying, look, lads, I mean, come on. We're the ones who need this here, right? It's just Ireland are signing. There's no facts yet about which of the provinces.
Has something ever been initially reported like that where a country will take you and we don't know where we're going to send you?
Not really. Not until I can remember.
No.
So inevitably, like, he'll go to Leinster.
Should there be a wrestling match at the airport when he gets off?
Yeah.
Like a celebrity deathmatch style. You can have one former player from each province and the current head coach, and they all have to batter each other.
Lays a hand on them first.
Tag team. Now, whoever's left standing, it's like a Royal Rumble style. Okay. I don't know what Royal Rumble is. I'm just making it, but I assume it's something
like
that.
Royal Rumble is.
I don't, actually. But
you don't know the premise of the Royal Rumble?
I don't.
Last one wins, like, everyone.
How do you eliminate people?
I don't know.
You know.
Sorry, in wrestling, you beat people according to the script.
How do you think there's 30 people in the Royal Rumble? How do you think they're
all in the ring at the same time?
They all start at the same time.
No. You get two at the start, and then every 90 seconds or so, someone else comes in.
But that sounds like,
and how do you win?
You
throw them over the top rope. Both feet have to hit the floor.
Mm. So who would win of the current coaching staff? I mean, Clayton McMillan's a big fella.
He's a big lad, yeah.
He's a big lad. But you could pick one former.
Leo Cullen's a big guy, too.
Who would Leinster pick as a former? Brad Thorne. Got you there, didn't he? Brad Thorne. Who's beating him? No one's beating him.
You don't have to be huge, necessarily. Like, a lot of non-huge men have won the Royal Rumble.
Do you know the story of the right hand of Ulster and how Ulster was claimed?
Red Hugh.
Yeah, cut off his hand, threw it onto the land. Hand.
Right.
That's the story. So there's three or four lads competing for the land of Ulster.
Exactly.
One lad cut his hand off and threw it onto the land because they said, first one to touch it gets it.
No.
I don't think that actually happened, but that's the story behind it.
We have lots of comments coming in. Some really interesting bits. One more story to get to, because this is a sports show. Come on. De Zerbi on the brink of Spurs' job.
De Zerbi.
But fans groups speak out. I think we were talking about this maybe pre-show yesterday about this.
Mm-hmm.
Let me find the crux of that. De Zerbi is facing fan backlash over his previous support for Mason Greenwood. So four supporter groups from Spurs have claimed he should not be appointed because of his comments about the striker at Marseille. De Zerbi signed the former England forward Greenwood after the league asked side in the summer of 2024. In November, he insisted Greenwood was a good guy while suggesting the Englishman had paid a heavy price for the criticism he faced after his arrest nearly 4 years earlier on suspicion of rape and assault. Greater Manchester Police later dropped charges on Greenwood. But on the football side of things, De Zerbi was reportedly unwilling to join any club, including Tottenham mid-season, but now has changed his mind, and we're talking about a potential long-term contract of 5 years here.
And the reason he refused to join was because of what he felt was how long it would take for him to get his ideas across. That it would take a full summer to install his, I don't know what the word wasn't difficult, but it was complicated game plans. His first five games at Brighton, do you know what he did? Five defeats.
Okay.
And then I think it was not many points won from his first six games at Marseille either, so...
It might be lacking self-assurance in that aspect.
Such a quick fix.
I traditionally don't start very well, guys. You sure you want to appoint me now?
Doesn't seem like a great fit for this Tottenham team, does it? That's the situation
Why don't they just get Harry or get Glenn until the end of the season and then bring De Zerbi in? Just do a what was the original plan for Stephen Kenny, wasn't it? Mick McCarthy takes it to a certain date and then Stephen Kenny comes in.
It wasn't five defeats, it was five games without a win when he took over at Brighton.
Mm. I get you.
Yeah.
They also say they're going to have to break their wage structure, which is really all Spurs need to do is break their wage structure and they will suddenly be able to sign much better players, and they're really rich and the money will eventually...
Yeah, I'm telling you, they could transform this, Spurs. I think they're on the cusp of doing well here. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Hopefully they go down first and then come back up.
So many comments. A few things I want to get to here. Davey says, frosty atmosphere this morning, lads.
No.
You are the host.
No. Not at all.
You are the host, in fairness to you. The other one here, Shifty Lad, saying, and this is something that I've been thinking about, right? League should be the most important trophy, not a cup competition. GA have it backwards. I think it should be a league.
It should never be the most important, though.
I think, no, but the league should be the most important. It should be a league.
Sam Maguire.
Yeah.
I mean, that.
Man, the end of season, do you know, like the last day of the All-Ireland series, it's quite exciting. Yeah. And I love a cup final, nothing like it, of course, but I do really enjoy the element of it being a league that you play for large portions of the year.
We were getting that way,
yeah.
And everybody's like, no, there's no jeopardy in this, no, we don't like this, it's terrible. And then there was nothing but jeopardy in the final day. The first year, and then the second year it was absolutely brilliant, and then we never got to really see it take off with the new rules, and like, no, that was too good, too many games with venues that never have games, too many opportunities for people to see our best players playing against each other in meaningful games during the summer when the weather's good. No, we don't want this, just for fear that, you know, it was totally making the provincial championships seem Well, that's good and everything, but this stuff over here could be amazing. Yeah.
So if it was the league, right, and they finished level on points, would you decide it on points difference or head to head?
Oh, I would insist on a playoff. Top 14 style. With the repshaj, whatever it's called. The barrage.
Yeah. Like a wild card weekend type of thing.
We tried to get the wild card weekend thing kicking off last year. It didn't work.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I love it. I love to see who thinks it will come up.
A league format, as in whoever's top at the end of it just wins. There's no All-Ireland final. Just scrap it all.
Yeah, I think you can have a separate cup competition.
Less important to the league.
I'd like to see a sustained league over. The history of the finals, you know, never actually happen. But I do agree with the sentiment from Shifty. I do like the idea of it being a league over a number of months, and it being the most important thing. People play each other twice, type of thing.
Playing each other twice be a lot. It depends on, like, do you have four divisions or do you actually have a 12-12 and all the rest?
Yeah, you could have divisions, yeah. You could have the equivalent of the Premier League Championship, etc. Promotion and relegation.
And obviously within the GAA structures, there is senior, intermediate and junior in every county in the country. So all the structures exist there for them to do that. But anyway, forget it, Jake. We talked about this for 15 years and nothing happened. They nearly got there with Proposal B. That was like going to be the thing.
I remember it well.
If you add that in to the new rules, you're looking at a sport that is unstoppable, I think.
Yeah.
I think it's very close to it already. But if you just change the structure... Anyway, the thing is, right, the Leinster Championship this year is going to be spectacular.
Class, yeah.
The Connacht Championship this year is going to be spectacular. The Ulster Championship will do what it always does and be excellent. And Cork might give Kerry a rattle and away we go. And sure, this is grand, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. But is grand the best we can do, you know?
Yeah, in this country, it turns out... it's grand!
Yeah. Dermot Keane's in touch saying the friend got two tickets on Tuesday for his 10-year-old who had never been to a match. Okay. And I decided to tell the kid at 2-0 that they were going, and the kid was inconsolable after the penalties.
Right, he'll still have a great night tonight.
So to clarify that story.
Or she.
Could still be attending.
Yeah, well, they should. They should 100% go. They will, of course. You're going to bring your 10-year-old.
Fergus Keogh brought up the point. Game of soccer tonight against North Macedonia. Does anybody care? And seemingly, yes, people do care. And certainly Hamer Halgrimsson. We could hear from Hamer Halgrimsson, right?
Yeah, we have two videos. Now, do you want to go positive or negative?
We start with negative and then positive.
Okay, yeah. Give you the bad news first. So we have... He's kind of talking about the Czech second goal, and he mentions that it was a bit of a fluke, and that makes it a little bit more annoying. You can hear that here.
When I looked at it again, the kind of the maybe psychologically to concede right after we scored the second one, bad timing is always a bad timing to concede a goal, but kind of I felt so secure, and even in the second half, I didn't think they created anything close to being a goal-scoring chance. So just felt so comfortable, and what we expected was what we got, and we coped with everything they threw at us. And then just this fluke goal in close to the end. But I felt really secure, and big credit to the guys in defense. That was a tough game for them. A lot of duels, a lot of crosses, and a lot of long balls, and they kind of cope with all of those things. So in that sense, we grew a lot, and we've often talked about improving our 1v1s and duels, and that game was almost close to perfect in that sense.
What was your angle of the Czech equaliser from where you were sitting?
Right in front of me. All the goals happened right in front of us, except their penalty. Kind of in line with the 18-yard box. The free kick. People are giving out about Alan Brown being too aggressive for the free kick given away. And maybe, but you do see them given all the time. You also see them not given. The referee was pretty good on our side. It's, if you look back, his eyes are closed, are they, when he's getting the head on it?
It's like a slightly facing the wrong way, to be honest with you.
Mad.
But it's Troy Parrott underneath them. None of our big lads are at the near post. All the corners had been going back post, far post. So we'd left all of our main guys there, and it's just a weird, fluky thing. Now, at 94 minutes on the clock, they did have a free kick in roughly the same place, yeah, the pitch that Caoimhín Kelleher had the free kick in the final qualifying game. And there was the ball pins.
It was in there for like 10 seconds. Yeah. It was ridiculous.
And we, I'd say, had a couple of foulish ones. Yeah. Like if VAR decided, we're going to ruin their night tonight, they could have.
I was expecting Souček to shoot it through a number of bodies and find the bottom corner.
So, look, our second goal was totally fluky.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that there was like this force of us, our physical, we were brilliant and we were on top in the game, and that's what happens. You get those, you get the benefit of that, but like, it came off the back of their goalkeeper and went in.
Yeah, and even the penalty we won wasn't a chance. No, it was just a random challenge.
It's funny because like, this goes back to the Jan Mas discussion. If Nathan Collins had stayed on his feet, everyone would have just played on.
He has to
play the game to go down to get the VAR call.
Yeah.
He has to. Stephen McCarthy wrote in yesterday saying, "I'm still depressed. It was there for us to win." That was yesterday. Also yesterday, Hamer Hargumson talked about growth. This is the positive side that we were talking about.
Like we've said, I think we are so close. I feel, and I hope the players will agree with me, that we can now play whatever team in the world and compete and win with correct and a good performance. So that's where I think this team is. We can grow, yes, but it's not going to be big steps or changing from this team to that team. It's just continue to believe in what we are doing and improve it step by step. Sadly, we don't have 2 months together. There's a lot of things that we can do in 2 months if we would have qualified, but we'll use every time we get to try to evolve as a team. But it's always best to do it in small steps and in the right direction rather than converting and changing things completely.
You know what I believe in there? It is sad that they don't have a few weeks or months together. So I feel like this team would really go places. This is like a team that you'd really get behind if they were a club. There's another part of that press conference, Darragh O'Shea talking about how together the team is, like how genuinely they get on. And again, like I can't help but believe that.
Yeah. Oh, the turnaround in the perception of them as a group, their relationship with the fans, their relationship with the country has been like stratospheric. It's just that it's obviously not going anywhere. It's incoherent now. We're playing not very attractive friendlies.
Yeah.
I mean, Canada in Ottawa, that should be good. We're going to Murcia. Are we playing Granada in Murcia? Is that it? Yeah. Where are you playing Qatar? Is that in Dublin? No, it's TBC.
Right.
It could be London, is it? Is there something about...
It's the end of September till we play a competitive game again.
And let's all look forward to those games in September against...
Yeah.
Well, we managed not to talk about that for a week.
Yeah. I know Carla Ward has been saying, let's channel some of that support against the women's team.
Targets in Dublin, yeah.
The Women's World Cup qualifiers ongoing. A couple of games against Poland next month. It would be good to see some of that support channeled into the women's team now, and there's still plenty of football to play on both sides. Women are going from back-to-back World Cups now, qualifying, so it's not over from an Irish supporter standpoint whatsoever, but obviously the disappointment of the men is so overriding right now, isn't it?
Maybe you spoke about this, but I like the jersey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It has a sash.
The away jersey, you mean? Yeah, it was brilliant. I did point that out just before it kicked off, and that got last for sure. I love the whole kit, to be honest with you.
Is that the first time we've worn that jersey?
Yeah, it is.
We have a really nice alternate black jersey as well, with like a kind of neon blue trim.
Oh, I'd like to see that.
We haven't played
it
yet, but
it was a throwback to the mid-90s goalkeeper jersey. We had a white jersey. It looked like that a bit. This is a throwback to our away jersey in USA 94. Same kind of pattern. I liked it though. I was a big fan of it. Big fan.
Yeah.
Now it'll be interesting to see what kind of reception they get tonight. I imagine it'll be quite positive. They'll be cheered a lot, I'd say. And then it'll be Intriguing to see how the game goes, right? That the fans will be expectant after about 20 minutes or so.
Yeah.
Of some sort of kind of performance here. It's like you'll get your 20 minutes of grace. Now let's see where this is going. Like if we lose this game, I want, you know, like what are we talking about tomorrow? Are we still talking about last Thursday? Or are we actually talking about what just happened?
Yeah.
But if we win, it's like the people are real positive going away from this team for a while.
I know that you'll talk about this later with Matthew and Joe Murphy. I presume they'll make a couple changes. I'd expect to see like a Harvey Vail maybe get a run out, see what he has about him. They'll probably play Troy Parrott, but I think I said it before. If I was AZ, I would not be happy with Troy Parrott playing in this game. But you feel even for the fans, they'll give him a run out just because people have obviously bought tickets to this game without the knowledge that we wouldn't be going to the World Cup.
Yeah, but also he does want to score goals for Ireland, and there is an opportunity for him tonight to score goals.
Yeah.
You know, you become a striker, you get greedy, you're like, I want to score goals.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to play, I'll play the 97 yeah. minutes. I'd say Robbie Keane played all the games.
I could see Parrott being subbed in the 58th minute and then it's an emotional goodbye from the fans for now. It's like,
yeah,
travel well back to your club, son.
Stand ovation.
Come back healthy. He's the hero, you know. Like, imagine, you know, you do these kind of surveys every year, and it's like Katie Taylor usually
comes out
on top as the biggest sporting icon, followed by Shane Lowry. But Troy is probably a top three right now. It's just the way he's so eloquent in speech as well. Immediately after a really emotional match, he's able to sum up the feelings of a nation.
Yeah, he's very composed.
You really buy into what he's saying. Like, I mean, up until the Portugal and Hungary window, I didn't really realise really kind of how he sounded at any great length. Like, and now it's such a huge turnaround for the week leading into that Portugal and Hungary doubleheader. We were kind of lamenting the loss of Evan Ferguson, and to go, well, Troy Parrott's doing quite well for AZ Alkmaar, but that's pretty much where the conversation stopped. And it's only a few short months later we're talking about as one of the national heroes. National heroes where we lost in the semi-final of a World Cup qualifying campaign.
Yeah,
It was actually quite far back on the road to where we want to go, and yet it felt like some weird sort of triumph, even morally. I don't know how.
Like, I was at the Armenia game at home, the 1-0 win, and I think Ferguson started that game and Parrott came off the bench. And at the time, even don't remember being too hot on Parrott myself. When he came on, I was like, he looks lively. He didn't score anything, but he looked good. Mm. And you're like, oh, maybe he should probably start, or maybe alongside Ferguson. So even at that point, we weren't really thinking of him as a nailed-on starter. But like, obviously now he's the messiah of Irish football all of a sudden.
There's a piece in the Telegraph today. Obviously, England are playing Japan tonight, another friendly, and I'm sure everybody's on tenterhooks to see what's going to happen there. But it's just an interesting piece here. Lee Carsley's getting the credit for the transformation in the career of Elliot Anderson. Anderson hadn't ever played number six until they were in a training game for the under-21s, and the game was passing him by. He was playing left number 10, so obviously they must play that box midfield system that Villa plays well. And Carsley's like, oh, go back, get on the ball more. And since then, he's gone from being, obviously a very talented, technically good player who games could pass by, to now worth 100 million quid. And City are talking about him as a potential replacement for Rodri if Rodri goes to Madrid. And I just thought it was interesting that it is still possible for players to be moving positions in that midfield area and to find exactly where they're going. That was the one thing that maybe Azaz could have played deeper. I thought that maybe they'd found something. Anyway, look, it's all moot now.
Well, there's a chance now to
try some of that.
Try some stuff.
Yeah, and look, those 10 days when they're together in the summertime, that was going to be an experimental with maybe a lot of the championship players don't come. Yeah.
Would you take really progressive football tonight, but we lose, or a poor performance, but we win?
And they shouldn't lose, I don't think.
I think all these games now only really, I don't know. I mean, ultimately, you just want the team to start winning again. That's a matter of course. It's a good habit.
Yeah, it's a weird one. I think it actually does. I think result is huge for some reason. I just think it's you to prove that this is wasn't a purple patch of form or something. I just would like to see the goals and creativity spread out a bit. You know, the last player to score for Ireland that wasn't Troy Parrott,
the goalkeeper the other night from them.
Yeah, the last goal scorer.
Glass. Is it Ida?
No, it's Evan Ferguson.
Is it, yeah?
Evan Ferguson against Armenia in the 1-0 win.
Oh, yeah.
So, and the most recent player was Adam Ida, and that was the 2-2 against Hungary, the first game. So it would be great to have a midfielder score a goal here and there, or even defenders looking dangerous from the back. And look, that nearly happened on Thursday. We have a defender hitting the crossbar and we had a midfielder hitting the post. But it was just that type of development of the squad is quite nice, because the most important thing, the fundamental area that we've gotten to now, is there's investment in this team by the fans, and that was not the case with the Irish team for a long time. It really wasn't. It was like, this is terrible, we don't even want to talk about this, this is going back to the grassroots development of football. And we certainly didn't have that conversation on Friday morning.
No.
About, like, where is this all going? What's the story with Irish football? That was a pretty good effort, hard luck. We kind of threw it away at times, but at the same time, we did quite well.
We do need to fund the academies and get better facilities for the League of Ireland, though.
Yeah.
Give us the money. North Macedonia are behind us in the world rankings tonight. We're up to 58 and they're at 67. So you want to just win these games as a routine 2-3 nil. Qatar slightly ahead of us. Where are Canada?
Canada be high up.
Canada 30th.
Yeah.
So Canada ahead of Norway.
Yeah, some decent players. Yeah. I suppose with the FEI, like, they made a good appointment to Neymar. Like, he's a good manager, clearly. Like, no, we weren't convinced initially, and even on the show there was a point where we weren't at all convinced, but he's clearly got all the players on side and he's getting results. Obviously not the most important result last week, but, you know, I know we questioned the decision to give him a new contract pre-game, which still feels a little bit odd, but ultimately I think he deserves it.
I can't think of a managerial turnaround like this.
Yeah, it's mad, isn't it?
It was like, this guy's gone the week into the Portugal-Hungary games.
Alex Ferguson, Mark Robbins, that goal.
Well, he was there for years. This guy was here a week.
In international terms.
No, he wasn't there that long at all. It was going to be this guy. Do you remember when he was in charge? He's solidified himself in Irish football history in some capacity.
Yeah, he's going to take us to a tournament.
Yeah.
Did you see the women's squad came out there yesterday? One name jumped off the sheet. Eva Brennan. You familiar? 18-year-old midfielder, Bowes. I saw her very recently at the last FAI Cup final against Athlone.
Oh yeah, yeah, yes.
I think I played it that morning, the goal she scored.
You did?
Screamer. Carla Ward was talking to Ben actually yesterday about her, and she mentioned she plays like a certain WSL player, but she wasn't going to mention who, but then she mentioned in the press conference after. Ellis Hoon. Man United.
Yeah, creative player.
Man City. You're a winner, so they have obviously a couple of games against Poland next month. But it's good to see some League of Ireland talent being brought into the squad and actually being talked about as well. Hopefully she gets a couple of games, but she's a quality player. Like, she scored there at the weekend against Athlone as well.
There was interesting stuff on the news end. They played another clip, I think, from the press conference of her saying that obviously it's still not a full-time league, but we've had our eye on her for a good period of time. She does the basics really well. Which sounds like it's kind of damning with faint praise, but I think, you know, managers really prize somebody who they can trust to do their job. And maybe this is the precursor to a move to a full-time position.
And like a lot of players don't tend to get the basics down fully till the prime of their career. You might be 30 years old by the time you really nail down the basics. So at 18 years old, to have that in your arsenal is, yeah, it's a massive quality. And it's probably the reason she's there, outside of the screamers she scores week in, week out. It's actually probably the reason, the very basics.
Yep, absolutely.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Viagra Connect 50mg film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150mg tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.